last week, we looked at a couple different questions. We asked these questions: how do you relate to God? And how does God relate to you? And I believe what we kind of talked about a little bit last week set the groundwork for this week. We talked a lot about love, God's love, and what that means for us and how that applies to us and how we can apply ourselves to it. This is going to be a continuation of that. This week, it's a little different. We're looking at an interesting, more introspective topic. And I feel before that I start, I should probably pray really quick because I want to make sure that I present this in the right way so that the Spirit moves and we receive it the way God intends. So just pray with me real quick. Father God, I just come before you right now with so much thanksgiving, Lord, that you give me the opportunity to share your word with your people, Lord. With that being said, God, I ask that you get me out of the way. God, that you fill me with the Spirit, that you fill this place with your Spirit, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. God, that we grasp your love and what that means. God, be with us now as we open your word. I ask this in your heavenly name. Amen. So the question, how do you relate to you? This week, I actually I brought a little mirror with me. It's not little. Just thinking about it, maybe I can use this to reflect on the word as we speak. This is going to be a little bit more important because the sermon this week is titled, you know, The Man, Woman in the Mirror. How do you relate to you? So when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Yes. Yeah, that happens. Age kind of takes over the years, and we start to see some changes in our physical form, shape. But I'm talking maybe a little bit deeper than that. You know, sometimes when we look in the mirror, some of us might see some title. We might see some status. We might see accomplishments. You know, we're filled with joy and with pride and thanksgiving over some things that we see when we look at ourselves. On the other hand, too, some of us, we see real pain. We see confusion, sometimes inadequacies, struggles. You know, there's a lot. And sometimes it's hard to look at ourselves. You know, sometimes we feel like we're incapable of love or incapable of being loved. I'm here to tell you today, church, that that's not true. And we're going to dig into it. But the point that I'm trying to make is this. How we view ourselves has a huge impact on how we relate to others around us. And here's why. So the first passage is going to be in Luke. And it's a big chunk, and I've got a few more coming. So I'm just going to read through, and we're going to talk about it a little bit. So Luke 10, starting in verse 25, it says this. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, him being Jesus, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He, Jesus, said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But desiring to justify himself, this guy said to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? A little bit smaller here. I'm going to read it. Jesus replied, this is the story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise, a Levite. But when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He set him on his own animal, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay when I come back. So Jesus asked this question to this man. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. This is one of my favorite parables, and I know as we read through the New Testament, we see a lot of parables that Jesus teaches. He loves to explain things in parables. It's basically stories that have a deeper meaning, but in practical terms. So why the parable of the Good Samaritan here? I believe the statement that Jesus is trying to make is this. Jesus calls us to love everyone, even those who we may deem unlovable. Does that make sense a little? We look at the story of the Samaritan versus this Jewish man that was robbed and beaten and left on the side of the road. Looking back into the history, Samaritans were they were looked down upon by the Jews. They were not viewed in the same light. They were kind of enemies in a way. So it's just funny that Christ has this story where the priest walks by and sees a fellow brother in the dirt beaten up, and he crosses the road and walks away. The same thing with the Levite. Levites were the people of Jerusalem that kind of were devoted to the word and the church and taking care of the statutes, the Pentateuch. And he did the same thing. But the Samaritan, this guy who had really no connection to this man, stopped, bandaged him up, used some of his own supplies, his own money to take care of this guy. So we're going back to the mirror. How do you relate to you? And I got to say this, I've always hated seesaws. That, fun little playground toy that, kids would sit on and go back and forth. Mainly, I hated them mainly because all the other kids that I played with felt like taking what was supposed to be fun and turning it into a death machine. They wanted to see how far I could fly through the air. For any of you guys that, because I grew up in this area, for those of you guys that knew me as a kid, I was very small, very lightweight. I could easily be thrown. So seesaws for me were not fun. But I talk about a seesaw that's imbalanced there. When there's proper balance, it actually does its purpose. It fulfills its purpose. It's a fun thing, right? So looking at it this way, I just presented the story of the Samaritan and how we're supposed to love others, even those that we may not feel too comfortable loving. And then I asked this question, how do you relate to you? I see this like a seesaw. It's a balance. If we put too much focus on ourselves, we don't go anywhere. We miss the picture. We become selfish. We can become arrogant and prideful. Too much time on ourselves and, just being that way, it has an inner seed of selfishness. And if we put too much on the service of others, we easily start to miss out too, because we miss on what God's trying to fill us with and what God's trying to speak to us with. It's kind of like this balance, this give and take. We serve, we receive love, we serve, we receive love, we serve. And it keeps going. So we want to keep that balance going. So the story of the Samaritan is an accurate picture, I feel, of what it means to love our neighbor. So I want to dig into why this balance I'm talking about is key to our faith. And we're going to find that in the book of Romans, chapter 8, starting with verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also give with him graciously give us all things? How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? It says, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long, and we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Interesting. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that passage. It's super encouraging, and I'm going to explain it a little bit too. So the question is this. You know, we're talking about how do you relate to you, and then I have another question there. How does God relate to you? When God looks at you, when Christ looks at you, what does he see? And I think Romans 8 gives us that a little bit. You know, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Absolutely nothing. So we're going to look at it again a little bit here. So I see 3 points that come up looking in Romans. And the first is this. God withholds nothing from us. God withholds nothing from you. It's just, it's awesome. Jesus came down for us. And I know the basic story, we know that basic story. You know, God loved us enough to send his son here to earth, who was God 100%, who had power and status in heaven. He had everything that he needed, but he loved us enough to say, no, I need to do something for these people because I love them. I'm coming. And he came in the form of a baby. He grew, and he had a ministry for 3 years before he was put to death for that. And he did this because he loved us, to give us that gift, to give us a free, open invitation to accept him and receive heaven and everything that he's given. He withholds none of that when we accept him. The second part is this. God allows nothing to condemn us. God's elect. The moment you accept Christ, you become one of those elect. The people that Christ scoops right up and says, I'm going to give you everything. Follow me. And it's because of that sacrifice and because of that gift that nothing can stand in our way, because we've got a straight shot to him. The third, God allows nothing to separate us from his love. I love that line. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This is coming from Paul, who wrote this. And if any of you guys know the story of Paul, this guy knew what it was like to get beaten up. I mean, when he was in Lystra, he was stoned to death, or close to death. So I see a man who's probably looks like a mess. Scars, broken bones that maybe not have healed well. He knows that. He knows that. And to hear him, to hear him say this to us, you know, shall tribulation or distress or persecution come between me and God's love? No, it doesn't. I'm living this and I experience this. So again, how does God relate to you as you look at yourself? This is where the mirror is going to come in. Wished I had a little stand. Randy, do you mind? Thank you, sir. Just come right on up here. So, I actually wore a suit today. This is kind of interesting. But looking pretty good, right? At least for me, you know, I think, sorry, I'm getting a little carried away, right? It's really easy to do when we're invested in ourselves a little bit, you know, just kind of looking at that. So, never mind. We're going to move on. All right. So, there are times, though, you know, like I dress up nice every once in a while. You know, I like looking good, and it helps me to feel good. But there are a lot of times when I look in the mirror, and I see my insecurities. I see my inadequate feelings of being able to stand up before you guys and do stuff like this, to be able to share the word with you. I struggle every day. And a lot of times I like to put on the mask sometimes and hide that. But when I look at myself through God's lens, through the lens that's sort of being, that's being explained in Romans 8 here, I see seven things. This is what Christ is saying to me. Sorry, I'm going to write on this. So he says this. Number one, Josh, I love you. Number two, sorry, I got to look at my notes here. I'm thankful for you. Number three, you, are a rare and beautiful treasure. There ain't nobody else like me, people. Just the same for you. There's nobody else like you. You're unique. Number four. This is a big one. I forgive you. Number five. You are here for a special purpose. I've called you to something. Number six. This is a long one. I'm holding you. I am going to hold you to a higher standard. There's an expectation that comes with following him, that we show our love, that we care for others. And the final one, number seven, I believe in you. My handwriting is a little atrocious, but thank you. Here, I can, yeah, if you wanna, yeah, perfect. Thank you so much, Randy. I appreciate that. Seven statements. That's a lot. But when God looks at me, these are the things he's saying. And I think for me, and maybe some of you here too, it's really hard sometimes to accept what Christ says to you, because you're hanging on to some things. You're letting that stuff get in your way. The seesaw starts to become a little imbalanced at that point, doesn't it? This weekend, I was spending time at the Advent Christian Regional Convention over in Rochester, New Hampshire, and I got to hang out with some of the other ministry leaders and pastors in the church. Awesome time. But the message that we were given and the direction that the AC churches are looking to go, they came from a passage in Luke. It's talking about to seek and save the lost. The people who are broken, the people who are struggling, the people who lack a kind of hope that we have found in Christ. And during that time, they talked a lot about what I was presenting today. So I was very encouraged because there's a lot here. But here's the thing. You know, I myself too find it hard to accept this sometimes. And when I get down to the nitty-gritty of it, when I think about it, I feel like the moment that I deny any one of those statements that God has given me, I've put myself in a place above him. Because that's not how God sees me. That's never how God sees me. The moment that I accepted him, I'm new. I am a rare and beautiful treasure. I'm forgiven. And there are times that I don't feel that way. Don't allow your doubt, don't allow the evil one to creep in and to tell you anything different. That's what I'm saying. Because when we grasp this, went too far, there we go. So the true north, we are loved by God. Right? And when we grasp this fully, we can love others the way God calls us to when we understand how he loves. One of the things that they said at the convention, I think it was by the chief executive officer, he said this, agape love is something that we can talk about till we're blue in the face, but until we experience that, we really don't get it. This is how we can get it, when we grasp what Christ has said to you. This is agape love. You know, because we all come from different places. We were all broken. We're all, you know, I'm still broken. I struggle a lot. There's a lot of that. But God sees me as more than my brokenness. I love kids. I absolutely do. I love them so much. I love them. No, I do. And I mean that. Like, they're so great. They just, no shame, no, none of that. Why do you think Christ calls, you know, look at the children. Look at how they are. They come to me with no hidden agenda, with nothing. They don't even, it's not even on their registry. They look at me and they say, Jesus, give me a hug. You know, I'm thankful for them. Okay, back on track. So, I was thinking a lot about it this week because I don't think it was a coincidence that I was there and they talked about what I'm supposed to be preaching on today. So, I was stumbling through and I've got one more passage of scripture that's in two parts here. And it comes from 1 John. I didn't have it here, but we're going to see another reinforcer of this Romans passage here when the writer of John is talking here. So this is 1 John 3, and it starts in verse 11. It says this, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us." Amen. And so we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. In this week, you know, Louis talks a little bit about our relationship to ourselves being the most important relationship we have. And he makes that statement. I don't know as if I necessarily agree 100%, but I see where he's going. And this is my sort of thought on the matter, because I do believe it's important. My voice is the most important voice that I have, because it's the one that I hear probably more often than I should. It's up here, you know, telling me all these things. But you know, when we get down to it, it's really about how I'm showing the love that Christ has given to me, to others. I've experienced Christ's love, and I know there's that. Think back to that moment when you encountered Christ for the first time. That overwhelming floodgate being poured out all over you to the point where you feel like falling down because you can't stand. You know, that's the kind of love that Christ has for you. And I want everybody to be able to experience that. It's totally free. And it's easy. It's the growing in that that's the hard part. And that's where the loving others, being outward focused, comes into play. Because those two commandments that Christ gave us, I believe that those are commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if we've got a proper view of ourselves, we can love the way God wants us to. So these are the questions to ponder. Looking at these seven statements, which one of these statements is the hardest for you to accept? Which one do you struggle with? And I'm sure there's probably one that jumped out at you as I was writing them out, like, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if I've ever seen myself that way. What do you think is holding you back from accepting that? Because it's there. God loves you like you wouldn't believe. And it doesn't matter where you've come from or what you've done or where you've been. He accepts you just the way you are. And what do you think you stand to gain from accepting that? When you can finally look at yourself in the mirror and say, I forgive you. I forgive me for my past. I know I don't see myself all that highly, but to God, I am beautiful. I am a rare and beautiful treasure, unique. No one's like me. I have a responsibility to his people, number six. God's holding me to a higher standard. And that's hard sometimes, but it's awesome because the blessings that come from abiding in that are immense. God wants to open it up to you. And I would encourage you to do so. Worship team, you guys can come on up. I love this church. I do. I absolutely love you guys. I pray for you guys every day. And this stuff is so important to me because it shows us, or it shows the world, this community out here, our hearts, when we adopt this for ourselves and then we use it to influence others, to give them that love, for them to see that inside you is just, it blows them away. I've seen this because I just witnessed to a friend of mine who hated Christians, who hated me for a number of years. Regardless of that, I still loved him like that. And now he's asking me questions. And I didn't have to share any scripture with him because he wouldn't let me. But now he is, because of that. Let God's love fill you and accept that so you can in turn pour that out and watch what he does with it. I see that as the challenge today. He's challenging you to accept what he says about you. Accept it and start loving on that person in the cubicle next to you. Start loving on that person that's your neighbor, someone next door, anybody that you come in contact with. Pray about it. Ask God to give you a heart for that person, to break your heart for that person. He will do it, and he will do it immediately. It's kind of scary sometimes, but I've seen this, I've done it. I asked him how, with my friend, I prayed because I knew he didn't like me. I was like, God, give me a heart for him. Get me in there. Show me something that I can relate to him with, that I can show your love. And he answered that, and he will. Sorry, I know I'm going on a little bit longer, but this is super important for me. Like, this is huge. This is huge. Church. God loves you. We should love each other because God loves you. Amen. Thank you. I know I can't say this enough, but Christ has given me everything. He's given us everything. And he wants us, more importantly, to accept that. And to hear his voice calling to you and telling you that you are special. You're mine. You belong to me. And I want you to share that with everybody that you can. Let it just fall out everywhere. It doesn't hurt. You can establish some really cool relationships with people just by showing the love of Christ with them. It's been strange for me when I started adopting that and I started trying that. Watch what happens. Church, ask for that love. Ask for his love. Ask how you can love in the right way. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this church, Lord, for the hearts of your people that are here. God, I just ask that you continue to grow us in your love, Lord, that you not allow us to listen to the devil and what he has to say, that you don't let our doubts and our fears and our pain and our resentments take over, Lord, that you show us your heart, God, that you grow us in your love, in your heart, Lord, that you give us a desire, a burning desire to show that love that you've given us to everyone that we come in contact with whenever possible, Lord. You're absolutely amazing. Lord, I know that there may be some here that are looking at me like I got three heads talking about this encounter with you, Lord. It's really easy to believe and to accept, and it's done simply as this. It's just saying, thank you, sorry, please. Jesus, thank you for what you've done for us on the cross. God, thank you for the gift of grace that you've given us when we didn't deserve it, Lord. Please forgive me the darkness that I've let take over in my life. Come into my life and save me, Lord. I want this encounter with you, Lord. I struggle with love, with knowing how to love, with feeling loved, God. And I hear all these people say that you're the Father of love. But I don't get it. I want to get it. I want your love, Lord. Give me your love. I ask these things in the name of Christ. Amen.